Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. This is a point here. Clay going to the Mavs, what was it, 2 years, $50 million?
Three years,
$50 million. Clay going to the Mavs, is that, did they get that much better?
I think so. I think they happen to add a much needed piece. This is a guy who will continue to be able to shoot the ball well, and he doesn't have to get it off the bounce. You have two great creators in Luka and Kyrie. Both of them can pass the ball. All his job is going to be to do is catch and shoot it. And somebody liking it to the Ray Allen move to the Heat, I like that. I like that comparison. I think it's a really good comparison. I think it's a great move. 2 years should be good. The third year, we'll see if that contract's still worth it. They're paying less than $20 million a year for him. And this is an elite shooter. So I really like that move for the Mavericks. I thought it was a really good move, and he took...
Defensively, how bad are they going to be?
I mean, Clay's considered a pretty good defender. So, I don't know. They're going to be like they always are, I guess. They'll have issues with Luka.
Yeah.
Defending. It's not going to change. Bad defenders are bad defenders. It won't change. It'll help if he loses some weight and gets a little bit quicker, but he's not going to be a great
defender. Can you win a title like that?
I mean, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think so. You just have to be better offensively. Got to shoot the ball better. They needed another shooter, somebody to shoot well, and they just have to get a little bit better defensively. They have to do a better job team defense to help Luka.
I don't know. I think that this was a 1 year.
I'm getting tired of hearing all the Zach Edey can't. You can't draft him. He can't defend. Alperen can't defend. Luka can't defend. Dude, y'all act like defense in a league where they're scoring 240 points a game is like this big priority for teams. Nobody's good defensively anymore. What are you talking about? Like, it's not, well, you can't win championships. Your goal should be to be a top four playoff team, and then it should be to be the number one seed, and then it should be you move your way up. But also, sometimes the best defensive team won't win the championship. It'll be the better offensive team. So, yeah, I mean, I just think arguing about Zach Edey or Luka or Alperen because of their defense, to me, offense is 80% of the value of one of those high-end players. When you're a high-end offensive player, it's more like an 80-20. So stop acting like defense is equally important to offense. The league does not value it as much. Just look at the scores.
They value it in the playoffs because we see guys who are regular season players become non-postseason players. And that's generally for the 6, 7, 8 guys. You all of a sudden see these guys aren't playable because they can't stop anyone. It happens. Now, as far as Alperen's concerned, that feels like a long way away before we're even having real discussions about what he means as a playoff player. So let's see what he can be how dominant can he be offensively. And that's going to come 2 to 3 years from now. Because Alperen's in Goom now. What does it matter if he can't stay in front of anyone? Who cares? Get into a real playoff series, and then we can start picking apart what he is.
Right. They should have won more games than they did. Is this run that the Astros on proving, just like the run that the Rockets went on without Alperen, is this proving that we don't need Kyle Tucker here?
I mean, there's no other way you can look at this other than Kyle Tucker's dragging this team down. The same way Alperen dragged down the Rockets.
How much better are the Astros with Kyle Tucker out?
Obviously substantially better.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers say it.
The numbers
They're
don't
so
don't
much
lie.
Better without Kyle Tucker.
I know he's a great defensive player. I know he's a great offensive player.
Can he guard a high pick and roll? Will he get played off the court in the playoffs?
It's two different sports.
That's how I consider
it. Well, you joke, but that's a real thing for championship contenders. But not Alperin's a different guy. But Kyle Tucker, no, they're not better.
Alperin's a different guy. I see how you try to speed up to you, do he's your not little at the point, dismissive
he's
thing.
He's not at the point where we're having a real conversation.
Get him a legitimate big next to him.
Stop. I know you're sick. I know you're a stan. You might as well
That's right.
create Alperin Şengülmüz.
That's right.
And do that. But
I stand with Turkey. Do you?
The discussions with Şengül.
Say your answer. Do you stand with Turkey?
The discussions with Şengül are silly because they're never in a playoff series, so who cares if he can stop anyone?
I stand with Turkey. Do you stand with Turkey?
I stand with Turkey.
If you knew better, you knew they don't like to be called Turkey anymore. It's Turkiye. So you don't stand with them at
I
all.
I stand
Turkiye?
With the Turks.
Yeah. It's Turkiye.
Don't fall for that. He's making fun of him again.
No, I'm not. If you actually watch the soccer you say you're watching, listen to the broadcast. It's Turkiye? It's Turkiye.
I don't follow Turkiye soccer.
Yeah. It's
like
not somewhat like that. But it's and it's not the Czech Republic anymore. It's Czechia.
If you're not a defensive – let me tell you. If you're not the defensive player of the year – you can't play basketball.
That's not the point, Lance, and you know
James
it.
James Harden was
I know you're saving your guy.
But he was also a great post player.
I know you're saving your guy.
No, he just doesn't have to be great defensively.
It would help for him to be better. Not to be great, but to not be
sure, it would help,
a liability.
But it doesn't need to be a long conversation.
If you are trying to get where you're trying to get, he has to be so exponentially better offensively that he's not a problem.
You're
That's the point.
The five needs to be a better – you need to get a shot-blocking five with you.
Then how is he going to play the four?
I think, honestly, Jalen, okay, then Jabari also needs to put more muscle mass on and needs to become a more impactful, stronger player on the interior.
Jokic is not a great defender, but he's not a liability anymore. And that's where you need Alperin to get. It's not a question of –
That's reasonable.
It's not that he can't get there. It's just what he has to get to.
He doesn't have his size. He's not Jokic. He doesn't have his size.
Well, he's 22 years old.
No, he's not small, but he's not
– Well, he's thick, like – But his tri-factor...
He'll put on more weight. He's 22 years old.
But his care factor's not as high. Like, his care factor just needs to increase. That's my whole thing is...
Jokic's?
No. Alperin defensively...
Well, nobody cares less than Jokic.
You need to... vibe he gives off,
well,
but
you
cares
watch
a
him
lot.
Play, he cares.
When he plays, he cares. But the lateral stuff, sometimes you just have to do a better job of anticipating, of jumping up the screen, you know, funneling it up. Like... There's things you can do to just play certain things better. And he needs to play with a higher IQ when it comes to weak side defense also and help side defense. But this argument is just, for me,
what
I just really
the
struggle
argument?
With.
What's the argument?
Well, about defensive, that you spend too much time on Luka. Oh, getting back to Luka, I think that adding this shooter is really important for the Mavs. I think this is a great addition.
We watched them play against the best team in basketball, and there wasn't a soft touch on defense for the Celtics. That's why they're so dominant. So I get why people are talking about you need to be better defensively. You're not always going to play the Celtics, but 1 through 5, you had someone who affects the game on the defensive side of the ball, and that's why they're so good. So if that's the level you're trying to reach and that's the team you're trying to beat, being better defensively would help. Klay's not that guy anymore. Luka's not that guy anymore. He's going to have to be so much better offensively. The problem for him is he's going against two-way wings in Brown and Tatum. And we saw what happened. He couldn't overcome them.
Yeah. But they're really, really good.
Yeah. You have to be really good to win a title.
$60 million a year. Wow. That's just crazy. Donovan Mitchell got $50 a year. Klay, did they... Okay, so they're talking here. Did the Warriors mismanage this thing? Forever we've been talking about Klay's contract. Forever. Every time he's up, it's always like, well, we're not sure. I mean, they've been hemming and hawing about Klay Thompson for a decade now. And finally, you know what? He's out. He's done. They're already retiring his number.
Of course.
They said they're retiring. They're gonna, Draymond's going to get his number retired. Steph's going to have a statue and his number retired. Steve Kerr's going to have a banner.
If they all retire within the same amount of time, I wouldn't be surprised if they all did it on the same day. Cause that's how they treat those guys.
I think Steph will last a little longer.
But I imagine the retirement ceremony, they might all do it like in a week, or they might do it the same day. I think that's the goal, to have all those guys enshrined together. Did they mismanage it? Well, they offered him a contract that's kind of representative of what he is as a player before the year, and he told them no. He didn't want it. And then at that point, they're like, well, we love you, Klay, but we can't give you what you want. It's just not feasible for us money-wise. It doesn't make sense for us as a team. And he's balked at that. So he is where he is now.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have those problems.
But
in
he
Houston.
Took less here. He allegedly took less here.
I told you. We talked about it yesterday.
Right. $350.
More about disrespect than anything else.
They offered him $250.
And they're asking on ESPN, Windhorst, does Klay Thompson have the right to be mad with the Warriors? The guy's been paid for years and years. Yeah, this right. whole thing where does somebody mad? They have paid him. Same thing. The Rockets paid James Harden for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey paid James unbelievable money. And then Daryl Morey's a liar. Daryl Morey literally stacked so many bands and honey buns and Prada bags in your safes. Like, how you mad at Daryl Morey?
Well, the players.
How is Klay going to be mad at the Warriors?
Players will push back. They didn't pay me because they wanted to. They paid me because I deserved it.
No, that's. I mean, that's just not true with
him. Well, not anymore, but they didn't just can Klay money because they were nice about it.
No, it was, yeah.
He brought them titles.
But right now he doesn't deserve
it.
And they need to go in a different
direction. But a player's going to push back and go, oh, they paid me. Yeah, they paid me because I deserved it.
Look, he can push back. What I'm saying is, no, he does not have the right to be mad with the Warriors. It's time to go. Got to go. I'm sorry. Robin Harris told you years ago. Got to go.
He can be mad if he wants.
Yeah. The other issue is it's behind the scenes. Something came out that Klay – is not Draymond as far as the trouble he causes, but he's similar.
Really?
He's not public about it, but there's a report that he causes them issues behind the scenes. He's been difficult to deal with.
Drama!
NBA
drama? I'm not buying
it. I'm not. Really. Time for me to talk about, what's going on? Do you need some kind of shirts, T-shirts, golf shirts, hats, koozies to promote your business? What is your business, and do you need that stuff? And the answer is yes. Promotional stuff actually works. And, oh, by the way, it's nice. Everybody loves when they get a T-shirt, they get a shirt or hat or whatever from your business. And you got to do this stuff. And it's an expense. But do it with the people who are the most professional, have been doing it the longest, know how to do it, have seen everything, have done every kind of logo you could possibly have, multicolor or single color, whatever it is that you're looking for. All right, trophies, any kind of uniform that you need, they can do it, and they'll put the logo on it, do you need shirts for your bartenders? You want them to all look the same, have the same T-shirt or polo with the logo of the bar on there or their name? They can do that too. Whatever it is that you need as far as silk screening, embroidery, one-stop shopping, they have all the shirts and hats right there for you to choose from, and they're just perfect at it. They've been doing it forever. It's Bull Shirts. Bull-shirts.com. Bull-shirts.com. Great guys. Been doing it for 40 years. You'll love them, and they'll do you right. Bull-shirts.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. We just got a call. Listen, if you haven't tried this yet, you're listening on 97.5 or 92.5 or the app or whatever. There is a way to listen, and it is static-free. It's perfect. The signal is unbelievable. Go to 97.9 and hit the the plus button on your stereo, and it'll go to the HD2 station, which is us. We are the HD2 station for 97.9. So it is perfect. Never going to have any more static. For those of you that are listening right now and are frustrated, 97.9 and get to the HD2 station, and that's us, okay? So you will be able to hear everything perfectly. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Let's hear from Alexa Lawless, all right? He had a pretty good recap yesterday on back to soccer. Yep, we're going to talk about soccer. The U.S. team is kind of a big deal since they're going to be here, probably playing in Houston. You think the U.S. team will play in Houston in the World Cup? Probably not.
I mean, there's other locations.
That might
be
determined by their group, because they have if they have some Latin American countries in their group, they may not want to play them in this city.
By the way,
as far as home field advantage,
somebody driving by the other day told me NRG Stadium's roof is open, that they're getting sun on the grass. So apparently, it's able to open.
Well, doesn't
they get it fixed?
It's turf. Why do they need?
It's grass.
No,
it's turf. It's turf. Field turf. What are you talking about?
It really is. Yeah, they're really turf. Playing on field turf.
Oh no, yes, they have been.
Oh, you mean the soccer or the tennis?
Yeah.
Oh, the soccer is it? No.
Is there still soccer going on at NRG?
Yeah, tomorrow, the 4th.
Oh, well, yeah, that is soccer.
Yeah,
that is
catch up, guys.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what the whole point is. The roof can open, is the headliner.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, a guy took a picture of it, said the roof's open, and I said, that's got to be for the soccer field, because they're trying to get the grass to really, because that was a big issue. They talked about, you know,
Have a problem with it? Did they have a problem?
I didn't notice it. Very green. I didn't notice any problems, and I was really, and I didn't read anything about it being an issue.
No.
So Argentina is going to be here against, is it Ecuador? I think Argentina and Ecuador are going to be here. So with Lionel Messi, there's going to be a lot of attention. And Lionel, they played here on grass years ago in CONCACAF. So that's the match you and I saw, John.
Yep.
But, the headliner is the NRG Stadium roof can open, even though they'll never open it for us for football. And number two, I mean, to me, if it's below 70 degrees, it should be an automatic yes. Below 70, above 50 and below 70 should be an automatic yes. An automatic yes.
Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, they better close it up pretty soon, because it takes a long time to cool it down after you have it open with 100-degree weather. So those people might be awfully uncomfortable in there to start with, because you open that roof, it takes a long time at Minute Maid, which is why they don't open it. They do during the day, but they close it up in plenty of time before people come in. So we'll see whether or not. But Alexi Lalas, after the game yesterday, here he is talking about the coaching situation, the manager situation for the U.S. team.
You talked about learning from losing, okay? I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than has done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say, because that was not what was promised and not what, for many, we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough. And there's plenty of excuses, but they don't matter. You know, you can talk about opportunities. Well, we have players that are playing all over the world. Talk about playing in Europe. Well, the entire team that you saw out there plays in Europe, so it's not MLS's fault. You can talk about, you know, the pathways and the resources that they have. No generation has been given more, and yet this generation hasn't lived up to that bargain. And when it comes to Greg Berhalter, we heard Stu Holden say it's exactly right. You know, I know there's a sport in firing coaches in all professional sports. And I know the knives are out, and they should be, because this is not good enough from Greg Berhalter. And you have to ask yourself, with 2026 coming barreling down the pike, it's going to come real quick.
Less than 2 years away, Bob.
All right? We can't afford to waste it. We can't afford to be embarrassed. And we can't afford to arrive in the summer of 26 with a team that has not progressed, that has not evolved, and has not improved. And I'm sure if Greg Berhalter was here, he would say, oh, but you don't see what's happening inside. I don't give a crap what is happening inside. I don't care about the dynamic. I don't care how much your players love you. I don't care how kumbaya it is. All I care about is I see a U.S. men's national team that is better than before. And we haven't seen that, and that's a problem going forward.
Is that on the players? Is that on the manager? Is that on the federation? Where are we saying you need to be better?
Well, the players certainly need to be better. You know,
do you think this generation of players has what it takes? Like, do you think that they have that deep inside of them?
I think there's a couple of them. I think they are better soccer players, but ultimately, I don't think that they're better U.S. men's national team players.
See, Alexi Lalas, people don't like him. A lot of people don't like him. I think he's typically pretty factual. He just says some things that one thing I'm starting to realize is how many U.S. men's national team super fans there are. They refuse to I mean, they are all in, and this is all they've got, and so they are not jumping off. Like, it can be both Berhalter and issues with getting the best or the right players, or it can be both. Like, it's not binary where people say, well, what do you think it is? Is it the coach or is it the players? See?
There's some I don't know if it's odd or not, but there's even you heard him at the end say they're good soccer players, but not USM, and maybe they're not good USMNT players. There's some real, hey, we got to be try hard, we working harder than everyone type of deal, because, you know, we've always, for the most part, been disadvantaged talent wise. We can't really say that anymore about the team. You'll hear people break down the team and really soccer in general and go, where's the heart? Where's the fire? You gotta do this. You gotta give it your all. You gotta be a warrior. Well, the other team's full of those guys, too. The other team tries as hard, too. The other team cares as much, too. Sometimes tactically, you need a better option. So, for whatever reason, soccer talk and analysis is like that. Like, well, if you simply try harder, you're going to win.
No, I don't think it's about talent.
No. Oh, and tactically, you have to be better. And sometimes, you're at a disadvantage. I know, because we're America, in our mindset, we go, well, of course, we're going to have the best of the best. No. Bielsa, who wasn't even there because he got suspended, is a much better coach than Berhalter.
So is Georgia better than the U.S.?
I don't know. Not man for man. But they got
attacks. They countered and got legitimate shots on goal.
Well, they absorb pressure and they go full goal, like fast breaks when they get the ball. So it probably would cause the U.S. some issues. Look. You look at them man for man, and you would say the U.S., and you heard them. They're good soccer players. And then, you know, he had the caveat, because he was a former member of the national team, that maybe they're not great USMNT players, because there's always this belief, we got to be tryhards. You know what? I'll take a better tactical option as a head man, and maybe a less crony-like federation, and then I'll start to look at the players. I think it's an issue from the top down. And what we see is only those players from game to game. And so we think, well, they're not trying as hard as the guys from 2010 or beyond. You know what? Maybe they're not coached as well as those guys were, too.
Listen, if we cared more, every country's best athletes are playing soccer. Ours are playing football and basketball.
Would LeBron James be better technically on the ball?
Not LeBron, but Kyrie.
Would he be better technically on the ball than Messi because he's a better athlete?
No, but
probably
Kyrie,
not.
No, he's too big. But the Kyrie's and the,
well, they have to be trained. Messi didn't. Messi's
well, but
gifted.
If they grew up playing the sport, they would.
Messi, well, no,
they would be trained
because they play here. What? Why would they be trained? Why would they be better trained than the Argentinians?
Well, if we cared about it, they would. If we had athletes that actually, we would absolutely.
Look, did you watch France against Argentina in the final? France threw on all their athletes, and, you know, they kind of, it changed the tenor of the game. But sometimes athletes don't matter. The U.S., pound for pound against most of the teams in the world, you're going to look at them and go, they're better athletes. Tim Way is a better athlete than what you saw in Uruguay. He wasn't around because
he did.
Yeah, but
I mean, guys like Griezmann have been key.
Andre Griezmann is like a little fella.
He is. He's the Mark Price. Me and Solis were trying to figure out.
We've been having for years.
He's like Steve Nash. He's a sneaky little bastard who's so talented and so good. And we actually have one he's not that level, but Pulisic is, you know, he's one of those little guys, but there is a balance between great athleticism and skill. I think you do need to have
really
good speed on
the wings. Now, Messi is a God-given talent. I mean, nothing was going to stop him as long as he cared.
There's no comparison.
But you just go throughout, you go Argentina, one of the world powers. You look at them athlete for athlete, they're not as good as us right now. So I guess if you think if we had starting cornerbacks playing, maybe we could outrun them. But you know what? They would still find a way to beat us.
Spain is unbelievably talented.
Well, we would be trained, though, if we were in country. If our whole country cared about soccer like the other countries do, we would be trained.
You're talking,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
You're talking about athletes.
We're trained better in basketball. We're trained better in football.
You're talking about athletes.
You know why? Because we care about those.
Well, wait.
You mentioned athletes, not training.
We are football.
Yeah, no one else cares about football.
What? There is no football. You mean baseball and... And baseball, actually, we're not. I would argue the Latin American countries are equally as good, and maybe.
Well,
I don't know if they're trained better.
It's about
the best players are Latin American.
50-50 in. There's more American players in.
There's more, but the very best players in basketball are now international. They're not U.S.
Yeah, that's true, but we're still dominate the whole league. Well, America still dominates
much
the whole
bigger
league.
Talent pool and than
a head
anyone
start.
Else.
Yeah. A bigger head start than everyone. Too.
Bigger head start. We got a much better talent pool. But to John's point, there is no doubt that if somehow they could bring better young and at some point you're going to have to bring in the Mexican soccer, the Mexican American soccer, generation and second generation. Players need to become a bigger part of American and not just Mexican. I mean, you know, Colombian. You have a huge Colombian population here. Like, you need to dig deeper into your Latin American population who are now Americans for some of the soccer and get the kids in academies and things like that sooner. There's so many great athletes who, you know, they should jump into. I don't know why they don't jump into soccer. If everyone looks at basketball as this great way out, or football as this great way out, or baseball, like soccer has
soccer's pay for
monster
play.
Money across
the pond.
Well,
soccer's pay for play. That's one of the biggest issues in this country.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to pay to get the best training, unlike basketball, where it's pretty easy to play. We all know, we've had these stories before. And honestly, it would be revolutionary, but the best thing that U.S. soccer could do was to turn it over to non-Americans. If they decide, you know what, and it's never going to happen.
What if there's a violent coup?
Okay, but
seriously, what if there was a violent coup? Because they say there's so much nepotism and cronyism in U.S. men's soccer. We've heard this forever. Glenn's told us this. If that's maybe we're going to have to do it by force.
Hell, even the manager of the Canadian team, one of the CONCACAF teams to get to the quarterfinals, is an American who didn't like how he was treated in the hiring process. Why was he treated poorly? Jesse March, probably because they wanted Berhalter to come back. So it's an issue from the top down, better athletes, whatever. You got to clean it out from the top. And if that doesn't change, we're going to be stuck in this perpetual, hey, how come our best athletes don't play? How come we don't win?
I mean,
we should be able to,
put a ball on the foot of Tyreek Hill and it's over.
Yeah.
Let's just work with him. You know what? If basketball players,
and you know,
if 30 to 40 of them can go play in the NFL, then can we get 30 to 40 NFL wide receivers will go play for the men's national team.
And if he,
I've heard it's that easy.
And you know how many more women he would impregnate if he was a huge world soccer star?
Send Tyreek Hill to Argentina at 10 years old, then maybe we're cooking.
Yeah.
And then send him to the Barcelona Academy, too. Then maybe we got
something. We had a little Tyreek. What was his name? He played with the Seattle Sounders. And,
well, you mean Freddie Adu?
No. The winger, he played on the 14 team really fast.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He came
off
the bench. He played internationally, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'll come up with his name. You'll remember. He was super fast. And I thought, ooh, we got some speed. I look out there now. I don't even want to talk about this. We should be the best in the world. We deserve
at everything.
At everything.
Are we the best in the world at healing knee injuries?
Women's golf?
We are the best in the world. No one ever. People used to go. Actually, athletes used to leave the country for that. And then we got the we got this technology here, and it's approved, and now we have regenerative medicine that is one of the leaders in that regenerative medicine is the head clinician for QC Kinetics. And they've got four locations here, and they've got four because they're very, very good at what they do. They restore and regenerate lost or damaged tissue so that the tissue grows back so you have it properly. The joint health becomes much better because your body heals it. And your body just needs a head start. It just needs a kickstart. And so that's what QC Kinetics does. Is it kickstarts the body's healing power, and it begins to heal properly so that you can get back to being the real you. You start to reduce that chronic pain. You get better mobility, and you're able to live a more pain-free existence. And that's what we all want. So, you know, if you feel like you don't have the life that you really want, you're not as active as you want because of joint pain, QC Kinetics can fix that for you. They're extremely successful, and regenerative processes are better than anything else that are out there right now. Make sure that you go to the website and set up your free consultation and see if it's going to be right for you. QCKinetics.com. That's QCKinetics.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Brett, let's switch it up here. In the AFC, one contract each team would like to jettison. There's an article here. And I struggled to find the Texans. Like, it's easy with the Browns. Man, if they could get out of Deshaun Watson, they would get out of Deshaun Watson right now. If, you know, there's Imani Hooker is making 9.3 for the Titans. He's been a disaster. Cam Robinson for the Jags, 21.9 cap hit this year. That's just not good. Russell Wilson for the Broncos, $53 million against the cap. You think they wouldn't love to get rid of that? Who's the Texan? What is the Texan contract?
I was reading that article. I didn't get all the way down to the Texans because some of the stuff I was looking at, I didn't necessarily agree with them. In that, like, Jared Goff, you know, I didn't agree with Jared Goff.
Well, that, yeah, the NFC, yeah. Right.
But Cooper Kupp was interesting. They had him because he was, you know, he's 31 years old, which I was like, wow, Cooper Kupp is now 31.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. The Texans, I would say, oh, Titus Howard for me is an easy one.
They don't know. They have, well, Jimmy Titus Ward? Howard is going to start for you on your right side.
Well, I'd rather have somebody else.
Well, they got Robert Woods.
Oh, yeah.
$9 million against the cap, and he's literally going to be a forgotten man this year, no?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, that's just going to be a big, gigantic waste of
nine. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that one over my guy as a starter. I just didn't think you gave a good contract. I think you're already going to be talking about changing.
Well, that's $20 million, too. Yours is much bigger.
It's much bigger, and had you not given it to him, you would have drafted a right tackle and had a cheaper rookie contract over there, but based on what they have right now, I mean, I would say Titus Howard, but no problem with Robert Woods. I think it is guaranteed, too. I think both years were guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can just get rid of – I don't think you can just cut him.
No, but the story is if you could, if you had your druthers, what would you do? I mean, would you – if you wish in one hand, but yeah, if you could get out of that one. Probably Titus Howard, I guess. I'd just like to see Titus Howard healthy this year and play well. I'd like to see him stick to the right side, and let's see if he can be, you know, a decent right tackle for you. I really think he can be. I think Titus Howard will be just fine if you just leave him alone over there on the right side.
That's true. He shouldn't have to play left guard, but you had to do it. It was best for the team. But, I mean, the fact is he's not a good guard. He never has been. You've tried this three times. Well, two at least, where he's 0-for-2, and he knows it. He's not a bend and gritty. He's not a bend and drive guard. He doesn't generate power from his lower body. He's not going to open up anything in the run game for you. Yeah, I mean, pass protection as a guard, that's great. A tackle on the guard, but as a run blocker, he's a minus, and because he's a tackle. And not all tackles can just drop down to guard, and he's not made for that. So I'm in complete agreement with his Instagram bio, not a right tackle only. I'm fine with that. That is who he is. But he's going to have to really play at a high level. And I think he'll play solid this year. I think he's going to be solid. It was just a team-building thing. I would have rather taken my chances with letting him play his fifth year and making a decision. I probably would have opted to draft a rookie and in the first two rounds. And then, you know, I would have let him walk, would have had that money available. But regardless, he's there now, and he's much better at tackle. So in a perfect world, Kenyon Green picks it up, is motivated, and plays average. If he can play average and juice at center and Shaq at right guard and you got your two tackles, it's one of the top 10 offensive lines in the NFL on paper if Kenyon Green can play average.
Yeah, I just saw Pro Football Focus put out all theirs. They had the Texans at like 22nd.
Yeah, and we heard their wide receiving corps last year.
They were last year, though.
And then, but they weren't.
Going into the season, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is like, these guys are all, you know, Juice is second year. Shaq is established. The left and right tackle are established. Juice is his second year, and he missed half the year.
Right. Well, you're uncertain at left guard. And you're uncertain at right tackle with Titus. I mean,
why are you uncertain?
Well,
you gave him a bunch of money.
He's been hurt. First of all, he's coming off an injury. He's been serviceable, if not good, at right tackle. But you haven't. Nothing is certain there. Laramie's a good left guard. We don't know about Juice at center because we haven't seen Juice at center. We really don't know.
Well,
and Shaq is established.
They know,
and Laramie's established.
They know he played center in college too, center and guard. So I'm not worried about him playing center. Center is going to be easier for him, frankly. So I'm not worried about center. I'm not worried about your right guard. I think Shaq Mason's just kind of average, but That's all right. You don't have to be great. You just have to move as one unit in the outside zone stuff. And so I know that Bobby Slowick wants to run more outside, true outside zone, because you move as one. It's a flow. You know, with the whole unit flows in a direction. The whole unit flows in a direction. You get a lot of flow from the defense. That's how you get cutbacks. That's how you get your play action rolling. And unfortunately, I think that means Damian Pierce, I think, is going to get traded in camp. That's what I expect him to get dealt for a sixth or a seventh round pick. Probably a seventh round pick is what you'll get for Damian Pierce, because he's just not going to be a fit, because they want to get to more outside zone, and that's absolutely what he's weakest at. But I think the offensive line actually has a chance to – I think we could be having maybe not the exact, but a similar conversation that we had about the wide receiving core. Go in, and it's a little bit of a concern. By midseason, we could be saying, man, this is one of the strengths of the team. I mean, honestly, the linebacking core looks solid. The defensive line looks good. I still want to see the interior. You know, we'll see how they stop the run on the interior. Wide receiving core looks good. Running back looks okay. Your quarterback's good. Your corners, we're going to find out about that other corner. I am actually more concerned about corner two and corner three. I don't know if I'm more concerned than the offensive line, but I think corner two, corner three, and potentially one. No, actually, I think safety will be okay. I think the corner two and corner three are the bigger concerns for me than offensive line.
Well, okay. I'm with you there. 33rd team did a piece on eight coordinators to watch this season, and the Texans coordinator was one of them, but it wasn't Slowick. It was Matt Burke.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little bit surprised because he is, and it started, you know, the talk about him was, well, you know, D'Amico's getting all the credit for the defense because, you know, it's D'Amico, and you're in a, I would think that if there's one coordinator that the Texans have to worry about losing this next season, it's going to be Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Matt Burke is a good coach, but Matt Burke is confers and consults with.
Well, he's not going to get the credit, right?
Yeah, you could still. I mean, that doesn't mean he might not be. Look, if you're good, you're going to get attention. If you're on a good team, you're going to get attention. But Bobby Slowick, there's almost no chance he's back next year. Almost no chance. Ben McDonald. Is it Ben McDonald with Detroit?
No. It's, oh, God. Now you got Ben McDonald.
I know.
Ben McDonald was the pitcher for the Orioles and now a broadcaster.
No, Ben Johnson.
Ben
Johnson and Bobby Slowick, to me, I mean, unless the jobs are really bad, I think they're going to be the two at the top of the food chain. The two guys who will be at the very top will be.
And he wasn't even mentioned in it. Ben Johnson.
What do you mean?
He wasn't mentioned in this article by the 33rd team.
Oh, yeah. No, Ben Johnson.
Well, Ben Johnson's been. But Ben Johnson turned down the job. You think Ben Johnson might catch it when he, you know, they were on the plane coming to interview him. And he, while they're on the plane, he said, nah, I ain't interviewing.
Yeah, Ben's just waiting for the perfect job. And I think Ben will. He's 38 years old. Everything about Ben Johnson, people are going to want to get their hands on him. He will be the highest, provided they don't fall apart. But he's done a great job with Jared Goff.
Yeah.
So Ben Johnson is going to be the next big guy up, but Bobby Slowick's going to be right there behind him if CJ plays the way he played last year.
Yep.
And actually plays a little better.
Yep. 8:46, ESPN 97.5. And me, I agree. I was like, really? You guys are putting Matt Burke there instead of Bobby Slowick. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Time for me to talk about Air Team again. I really, really, really am high on these people over at Air Team. Over 35 years of business, the Curtises have been doing this, and they're still doing it now. You may even talk to Darren or Dawn or Garrett, their son. There's a chance, and you're talking with. And I love when it's a family-owned business and they have a philosophy about how they do things. I sat down with them and a couple of other guys, Forrest there, and other people that were dealing. And first we talked about my air conditioning, and we talked about, you know, the campaign that they want to run here. And it was just so – they're so – I really love the way that they do business. I really, really do. And you're going to get that same thing. They They are, it's family owned and operated. They got employees that have been there 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So you know that they're great people to work with. And you know what? They really, really care. And they put in over 140,000 AC systems in the city. They did a lot of new construction, but now they're working residential. There's so many problems out there. If you don't take care of your air conditioner, then you're going to need Air Team. Have them come to your home and work on your air conditioners now so that you don't have to replace them like I did, like stupidly I did. Do it now. Make sure that you call Air Team and have them come and look at your equipment. It does that. You're going to save a bunch of money if you do it this way. AirTeamLTD.com, 713-956-8326, AirTeamLTD.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. the videos. I mean, the seven-year-old who bought the $600 purse, I got it on my timeline, too. I mean,
you're the one who got me into
non-aesthetic things.
Yes.
Yes. A seven-year-old bought a $600 purse, didn't order it up through with her mother's credit card. Yeah, I'm keeping the purse. Oh, yeah? You're going to get a whooping, little girl. That's what you're going to get.
Ooh, breaking. Oh, well, actually, this is 11 hours ago.
What?
So I guess it's not breaking news. Oklahoma State running back,
yeah,
Ollie Gordon, arrested for suspicion of DUI Sunday. Oklahoma City or Oklahoma Highway Patrol says Gordon was driving 82 and a 65, according to a probable cause affidavit. The trooper who pulled Gordon over spotted a half-full bottle of vodka and a half-full bottle of tequila. An OSU spokesman had no comment other than the school was aware of it.
Yeah.
82 and a 65 is not that big a deal. The empty bottles in your car?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Not a great look.
That's a problem. That is a real problem.
At least it was half full and not half empty, somebody said.
On this date in 1990, Andy Hawkins of the Yankees throws a no-hitter, and the White Sox won 4-0.
Mm.
He threw a no-hitter and lost 4-0.
That's tough action. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, 1990.
A no-hitter, so obviously there's errors and walks involved.
Errors, yeah, a ball in left field that the left fielder just and the right fielder just botched. Mm-hmm. A no-hitter, and he lost 4-0.
Are we going to do anything special for Hunter Brown?
What do you want to do?
I don't know. I feel like we should have him come in studio and give him some breakfast tacos or maybe just, I don't know what we should do for him. I just feel like we were mad at him as a country and as a city, and I think he deserves the praise that he deserves. This guy has 8 consecutive quality starts, right, John? Did we say 7 or 8?
8.
I think we said 8. 8 consecutive. In his over his last 6 games, he's thrown 31 innings and given up 1 run in 31 innings. He ended the month of June 5-1 with an ERA of 1.16.
Like 4-1.
Yeah. It's 4-1. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He's won 5 of his last 6.
1.16.
Should we, his ERA's down into the low 4s, almost dipping into the 3s now. Should we do something nice for him as a city? Should Sylvester Turner give him the key? Maybe not the key, but should he proclaim
Sylvester Turner going to do that?
What about proclaim a day for him or?
Like, a day?
You want to give him the keys to the city or?
No, we don't do that yet, but a day or. Will Bun give him some free Trill Burgers or something? Like, I feel like Hunter Brown deserves something really nice. The way he's pitching, he's saving the season right now. He's pulling a J.P. France. Remember when J.P. France saved the season last year?
Do you know who the mayor of Houston is?
Oh, wait, that's right. It's Whitmer. Whitmer? Well, it's Whitmire. Yeah, Whitmer. Yeah. That's worth Whitmer.
Right.
Whitmire,
Turner.
Whatever.
Turner's like, I don't do that anymore.
This makes it even more. They can't be like Sylvester
I don't know
Turner.
If you've heard.
No. Whitmire can't do it because
why not?
Well, he could, But Sylvester could do anything he wants now and say, this is, we're going
to
give you the keys.
To him,
I didn't say keys. I just said he can do a proclamation. It won't mean anything because he's not the mayor.
How can he do a proclamation?
I forgot we have a new mayor. That's right. He's going to rebuild infrastructure.
No proclamation.
Our roads are going to be better.
No more bike lanes.
Good.
No more bike lanes?
Wasn't that one of his things?
Good for you, Mayor. Get the bikes off the road. Beat it, jerks.
But we need to do something.
Sure. I ride my bike on the sidewalk.
Hunter Brown is saving.
You ain't a man.
Hunter Brown is saving this season.
No. Can't ride it down Westheimer to go to Luling's or Bayou City to get crawfish.
You could.
You can't ride on the street. You got to ride on the sidewalk.
You could be
and
one of those
stay
annoying
off the street where the cars
riders.
Are. Okay. Did you see the Hawktua girl? She got an offer for $600 to spit in a jar and send it to a guy.
Yeah, she did. Unfortunately,
she was on Zach Bryant.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Barstool people got a hold of her, so she's sitting down for interviews with them and taking pictures with them, and that's one of the things she revealed.
Yeah,
that guys are asking her to spit in a jar.
Yeah. Who was she sitting down with at this interview?
Some random, I don't know, some girl who works with the Barstool girl.
Wow.
People, I guess. I don't know. She was taking pictures with some of the, the eighth and ninth men in the rotation for Barstool.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
She better be careful.
Well.
The more she.
Well, listen.
It's been quiet enough. People, she's a little darling or whatever. She needs to really bow out of this. Don't keep going. Don't open doors for people.
She's not a teacher. She said, I ain't even old enough to be a teacher.
Well, I told you that wasn't real.
Years old,
I said
believe.
It wasn't.
And somebody said her dad was a preacher.
That's not
and
true.
She said, he ain't
is that
no
his,
preacher.
They
trust
also
me.
Said that other girl is her wife, that she's a lesbian and that other girl is her wife. Did she say that's true?
Yeah, no. I think she likes guys because she does stuff.
Pookie, remember? She was talking about Pookie, how much she loved
him. That's right. Yeah, but she could have just been saying stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like... I just want to... Well, let's get all the myths about Hawktua girl out.
She isn't a waitress or bartender. No. She worked at a spring factory.
Yeah.
She has since quit, I guess, because she's got all these opportunities coming her way.
Well, she's on the stage with Zach Bryan.
Well, that doesn't make any money.
What?
I'm talking about
that's
money.
That's so funny that... I'm quitting now because I got all these opportunities. You're not going to have you're a meme.
Well,
this is not.
Have you met the internet?
But this is not a long term. Now, it's probably better than working in a spring factory. Yeah, I'll give you that. This isn't a long term career.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
Unless she's really good at interviewing. No. Unless she's good at interviewing, then maybe she can become.
She's got a team already. She's got, she's going to get some brand deals. She is going to make
she's got
some
a team.
Cash
You're
quickly.
Just saying
I'm
that.
Not, she said in the interview.
She said, I've got a team?
No, the person interviewing her, I guess her name is Plan Breecut. That's the name of the podcast, or at least the name of the at. She talked about how the girl brought a team with her. She's set up.
As well, she should.
Yeah, she's gonna make some money quickly
Hawktua.
Here.
I mean, she's got a tailor.
And
well,
she's
got a whole Hawktua team.
And the Iron Sheik did this so many years ago. He literally go Hawktua. I spit on America. Like Iron Sheik was doing this years ago.
Yeah, but
she didn't.
He was spitting on America. She was not. She was not. That was
on Americans.
You don't know. You don't know.
She's from she's from Nashville, isn't
she? She probably spit on Americans. Yeah.
She spit on Americans.
Time to talk about Billy.
I typically don't like being spit on.
No, I don't either.
Time to talk about
Billy
Brown.
Brown.
Yep.
Billy Brown.
That's the guy.
Billy Brown
right
is
there.
The guy.
Billy Brown.
He's the best.
Old Billy Brown.
Listen, 488-6238, 281-488-6238. You've got to have that phone number in your phone. Because here's the deal. I don't always need a plumber. Today's a day I probably won't need a plumber at my house. But the day that I do need a plumber at my house, I need Billy Brown. And I need the Aqueduct Plumbing Team. I need them to come, and I need to fix all my stuff, okay? Because it sucks. Sucks when you got a leak. It sucks when you ain't get your water. It sucks when your water's not coming in hot. All of these things. But they can prevent that.
They can prevent it for you. They can clean. They can get the tankless water heater in there. They can clean it out for you every year. If you haven't had your tankless water heater cleaned, you have to get that thing serviced every year. They can help you not just with tankless water heaters. If you have water pressure issues, they'll go find out what it is and get it fixed for you. If you have leaking faucets, if you have major leaking under your your slab. And I know a lot of people out there are going to be concerned that they're, you look at the toilet water and you think that's just too low. If you're worried about there being a slow leak, then make sure you have a hydrostatic test and they'll find out for you definitively if there's a leak. And if so, they can repair it for you. So make sure that Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the one plumber that you have set to go for any issues you have. They don't even charge you to come out and tell you what's wrong. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.